This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, surprise, surprise, surprise.
Why?
You're here.
I know I'm here.
Last week you said you were going to take the month off.
Well, some things came up, and it's still too cold to take a month off.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you didn't.
Well, this is really my only job now.
True. That's right. You're not a commissioner.
I'm not nothing. I'm nothing anymore. I'm just whatever.
Average Joe, so to speak.
Just average Joe. You know, I pick up cans along the highway and cash them in. So, this is about gardens and landscaping and plants and things like that. And if you have a question, you can call 673-4464 and ask your question. And we'll have a discussion, and I'll hopefully give you a way to do it and that you can understand, because I will not speak in Latin. I will speak in English and let you really know how to do it step by step. So, 673-4464, any question on landscaping or planning or anything like that. And we can do it. So if you're all out there and you want to hurry up and get in your garden on this nice cool day,
right?
Just call and we'll get you started in the right direction. So, but anyway, I was going to give you a little history here right off the bat. And, you know, after 50 years in business, working 60 hours a week and all that, I'm now a free man.
Yay!
I don't have to do that anymore. But we sold Wintergreen Nursery recently and now have some free time on my hands. It doesn't seem like a lot of free time. And But since I live out of town on some rural property, I can now work at home, and I've only got 100 years worth of work to do out there, thinning and planting trees and cutting firewood and, keeping the brush down. That
you can
kind
do
of
it
thing.
For yourself instead of somebody else.
Yeah,
now.
but nobody will pay me.
No. That
my favorite thing is burning brush. I love burning
there
brush.
You?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I like the smell of it.
Oh, I like the flames.
Burn, baby.
Burn, baby, burn. Yeah. And then I got a lot more trees I want to plant, and then I've got my usual garden, spring garden preparation, which is I'm not going to do it probably till the end of February, but that's all part of the thing. And then whatever else that I've neglected for the past 40 years, I'll do and try to catch up on. There's always something when you own property like that. There's always something you have to do that should be done, and it might take a half a day, and so you wait till you get an actual half a day to do it to even get started on that. So
and some semi nice weather.
Yeah, but when you're burning brush, it doesn't matter.
It don't matter.
And this is when I burn the brush right now.
Gotcha.
And I've got several around from past, I was going to say Armageddon, but Snowmageddon.
Well, it could be both.
Both, yeah. And, the cleanup work on that, like I said, there's several brush piles that have been sitting there for a year or so and are primed and ready to go. Yeah. All I got to do is take my propane tank out there and my torch and light her up. So, and even though I don't own Wintergreen anymore, I will still retain my landscape contractor's license, and I'm still going to do consulting and design work in my spare time. But I've got an office at home, and I can do that stuff right out of home. It'll be a different phone number and all that kind of stuff, and it won't clash with Wintergreen and what they're doing, because I won't intrude on what they're doing. And actually, if I speak to people out there, and like as a consultant, and go through, and they say, "Well, can you give me a bid or whatever?" I could give them a bid, but then I said, "Well, call Wintergreen Nursery. They'll come out and give you a real bid, because they're the real guys. I'm just kind of a go between. I don't I don't count for anything there anymore." So, but that's
you're the low man on the totem pole now.
Well, I don't even have a totem pole. But in the meantime, my wife, Marianne, wants to travel, so I'm planning a nice trip to the coast for lunch.
And, nice.
Yeah, right. That's supposed to be a joke.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I never know when you're joking.
Well, I know. I'm
unless
always,
it's about the governor or something.
Oh, yeah, well, God bless her. but on a more serious note, I'm going to continue to write. I write a column for a competing newspaper in this town, and I'm still going to do my Wednesday radio show on this beautiful radio station.
Cool.
And that's 1240 a.m., isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And 92.3.
And 92? I thought it was 93.9.
You're right. I just...
boy, oh boy. And he,
93
and he works here full time.
I got it mixed up with our sports partner.
Yeah, I'm not a sports partner.
Thank you for correcting
me. Oh, you're sure welcome. But I'll be on the radio on Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. And if you've never listened, it's a call-in show. And folks ask gardening and landscaping questions about their yard, and we try to resolve it in conversationally. And if they have any further questions, they can always call me, and I can always make a make a call to their house too. But questions about, you know, plants, what kind of plants, or how do I plant it, or is it time to prune, or how hard can I prune it? You know, anything that, you know, you just don't know how to handle. Well, that's the kind of things I can answer for you fairly simply here on this radio show. And, you know, of course, lawns, there's always something to do with a lawn.
Oh,
you know?
Gosh, yeah.
How come it's brown? How come it's this? How come it's that?
Yeah.
You know, I've been through all of those things, I know. But anything else that concerning you and your yard or how your plants are doing, or, you know, what shall I do, or how can I do it, or where do I get it? You know, those kind of, I know all that stuff. Not one, maybe not all of it, but I know a lot of that stuff.
99.49%.
Yeah.
Percent.
Yeah. And most of the time, callers seem thankful for the info I give them, so that's good. And I've been doing this radio show since 2003.
Wow, that's a couple of moons.
That's a couple of moons. So I think this is my 20th year.
Yes, indeed.
23, is it?
Mm-hmm. Yep, 20 years. You and George Norrie on Coast to Coast.
Yeah, Coast to Coast. I got ghost stories for you, too. But, and if you can't get the program on 1240 a.m. or the other...
93.9. See, I got it that time.
But you can try 541radio.com.
Yes, indeed. Woo-hoo, and there you go.
Y'all didn't think I knew that kind of stuff, did you? I fool a lot of people a lot of times. But kind of interesting how I stumbled onto this show. I was a county commissioner for 8 years. And
you were?
Yeah, I was. And then I got out of the county commission business, and my wife and I were going to Eugene one morning to a nursery to get some plants, and it was, you know, early January.
Yeah.
And we stopped in at Casey's for breakfast and walked in there, and the waitress showed us our booth, and Pat Markham was sitting in the next booth.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
I said, "Good morning, Pat." And he said, "Hi, Mike, how you doing?" I says, "Hey, Pat." I said, "You got all kinds of shows on your talk shows on your radio stations, but you don't have a gardening show. How come?" Oh. And he says, "Give me a proposal." And I says, "Okay." And I sat down. We had breakfast. And, you know, the week kind of lengthens out. And I get a phone call at the nursery, and it's Pat.
"Oh.
Hey, you got my proposal ready yet?" I says, "Yeah, how about 3 o'clock? He says, "Fine, great." And so I hung up, and I thought, how do I write a proposal for a radio show that I've never done in my life? So I sat down, and I wrote a page of stuff, and 3 o'clock I came in, and I handed it to him, and he read it. He says, "Sounds good. You can start Wednesday."
That's how easy it is, folks.
Yeah, you know, if you got a, you know, pottery show or something like that.
Yeah.
But, and I thought, geez, what do I get myself into now? Oh, my gosh. But it's been fun.
That's what I was going to say. It's been fun.
And I've enjoyed it. And, you know, it's forces me to continue to be active in my professional field.
Endeavors field,
you know, professional field, you know.
Gotcha.
Kind of a play on words.
Out in the weeds,
yeah. But it keeps me learning all the time. I learn new stuff every day. I get all kinds of magazines, of course, about landscaping, about nurseries, about new plants, old plants, how to do this, how to do that, how to make a reflecting pool in your landscape. And, you know, it's all good information, and I enjoy learning about it and get a lot of ideas from that. So it's... Yeah. It's good.
And you like to share it.
Yeah, well, that's the purpose of this radio show. You know, so when I make mistakes, and I've made a few in my 50 years as a landscape contractor, but I've learned, how to fix it and then how to correct them. So when I'm asked questions about plant problems, I can give a correct answer because I've made those mistakes once or twice, and then I fixed them myself and learned from doing that. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is I'm still learning, like I say, every day, and it's like there's no end to it. I mean, because somebody's always inventing new plants
Sure.
or new ways of doing things, or are we getting close to a break or what?
No.
Okay.
Not yet.
Okay. Well, your finger was on the trigger there, and I thought, oh.
Oh, it was. I was.
Yeah.
But getting itchy.
I know, itchy finger. But I've enjoyed my business career and wouldn't have traded it for an 8-to-5 job. In fact, I did trade out of an 8-to-5 job to become a full-time landscape contractor. And I've enjoyed the challenges. I've met thousands, really literally thousands of great people. And the best compliments I've received over the years when we finish a landscape job is when a client says at the completion of that project, this is more than I expected. It's beautiful.
Nice.
And, you know, wow, mission accomplished. And then you say, now this is how you take care of it. Now listen to me. And I write a list of instructions down so that they know when to water, how to fertilize, what to fertilize with, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
And I don't want to come back here again.
I don't want to come back here and have you call me and say, well, my rhododendron died. I don't want to hear that. So do it my way or
hit the road.
Hit the road, Jack. And I've had great crews over the years, but I do have two favorites. My wife, Marianne, and my brother, Steve. Without them and their great work ethic and loyalty, none of this could have been accomplished. And then my daughter, Jill, is the star of the nursery, and everybody loves Jill. She has many, many loyal customers that come in for plants, and they only want to talk to Jill. I've met a few, and they say, and I say, well, hi, can I help you? You know, I might be there. And can I help you? No, we're here to see Jill. We only deal with Jill. I said, oh, okay. And I spot Jill over in the greenhouse and wave at her. And I said, here's some people here. And Jill goes, oh, hi, Helen. Hi, Bob. And they all go, oh, hi, Jill. And they hug and they walk off. And she sells them a bunch of plants.
Conduct business.
Yeah, she knows how to do it. They don't want me. They want Jill.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and like I say, she has a lot of loyal customers, and they come in and they want to talk to Jill, and Jill does a great job. She grows maybe 5,000 to 6,000 plants each year in our greenhouses from cuttings, and her success rate is like over 90%. And it takes a real team in our business to be a success. That's
well,
all there
she
is
had
to
a
it.
Great teacher.
Well, I know. Mom did a great job. I think that you got your hand on the trigger.
Now's we got to take a break.
Okay, we'll be back.
What's our phone number?
673-4464.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQAN.
I'm glad you remembered that.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we are back and we have a phone call. Hey, good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hello, Bill. No, I don't. I talk to a lot of Bills, but... Oh, okay. Yeah, that long time ago. Yeah, wow. That's a long time ago. Yeah.
Rose, but they had a different type of blossom on them.
Yeah, small single petal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what happened to them? I don't see them anymore.
Oh, they're still around. Not so much near any agricultural operation, but, you know, you get back up in some of these side roads, you know, the back road to Glide or Melrose or in places like that. And there's a ranch or a hillside, and they'll start popping up, and you'll see them in another couple of months, and they'll be, right now, they're just stems. There's no leaves on them for
oh, the no, this must be a different plant. This was actually a good-sized bush.
Huh. Well, you got me, I don't know.
I don't see them. Huh. Since we have so many cattle now running around, they seem to be gone.
Well, maybe they graze on them or something. I'm not sure. I mean, I still got them growing on my place, and my road into my place is about a mile, and they grow right along the ditch line. And you try to get rid of them so you can grade the road, and they keep coming back, so they're still around. They might be disappearing.
Well, I was just wondering about that because I don't see them.
Huh.
Anyway. How's the retired life?
I don't know what to do with myself yet.
He keeps coming back.
I keep coming back here. It's my only job, and I do it for
do.
Free.
I'm 87 now, and until October, I was working at the food bank in Sutherland.
Uh-huh.
2 days a week, but then I got, guess what?
What?
Shingles.
Shingles? How'd you do that?
And I've still got them. I mean, I've got the aftermath of them. I have a lot of just pain in my shoulder and my clear out to my right breast and my fire pit. Very uncomfortable.
Well, I don't know the solution or the cure for those things, I'll tell you.
Well, I don't think there's really a cure. I think they just go back into remission.
Uh-huh.
A virus. It's a herpes virus.
I see.
Anyway, any other... Oh, by the way, did I tell you I'm starting a... trying to get a Myrtlewood grow going on my place?
Uh-huh.
And, boy, they grow so slow.
Yes, sir, they do.
But they're beautiful trees.
Yes, sir, they are. I've got a bunch of them on my place all along my creek.
Oh, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Even where you live now, huh?
Yeah, I live west of Winston, about 6-7 miles.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's good territory for them.
Yeah.
Well, where I'm at here is about the northernmost you will find them.
Uh-huh.
They have very limited range. I found out that looking down at the main river down here that the beaver actually seemed to like to eat them.
Hmm. Well, I don't know what a beaver diet is, but so far I have not had any problems with mine, and I've lived out there for 32 years now, so
beavers. That's the only place I've seen their predation on them is down there on the main river.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll let you go.
Well, thank you for the call. I appreciate
it. Yeah, you betcha.
Okay. All righty. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye.
Bye. All righty. Bill from Sutherland, and he's...
Yep.
And, cool.
And, you know, it's funny. I've never seen a beaver out at my place, or I go through a big ranch that's mm-hmm. got several ponds on it, and I think I saw one in one of the ponds many, many, many years ago, like maybe 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Just driving by, and he was swimming across, you know, and I was like, that's the first beaver I've ever seen. I've never seen another one since. And, but I've not seen any beaver damage on any of my my neighbor properties or anything like that. And
I thought,
well, maybe it's just not the right habitat for them, or they don't like people being around, so they go somewhere where there's no people. So,
but you got otter.
Yeah, I had two of them eating my fish. Oh, by the way, last week there was a blue heron in my koi pond gobbling up the remainder of my fish.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they didn't get the big one, but I guess they got a little one until my wife scared it away.
Oh.
Right there. I've seen herons fly over the top way up in the sky, but never stop.
Yeah,
never stop for a snack. I don't know.
That reminds me, I had a friend up in Salem recently, and he had a pond out in his front yard there, uh-huh. and the same thing happened to him with a heron come down. And
really?
Anyway, he got the shotgun.
Uh-huh.
And just...
Don't say his name on the air because that's not legal.
That's not legal?
No.
No, there was feathers all over that yard.
Oh, gosh. I think my wife threw a rock at it or something.
No, she didn't get the shotgun.
No, she doesn't like to shoot shotguns.
Well, there's one less heron or whatever.
Great blue heron. Yeah, I see them every year, but they're like on a journey somewhere else. They never stop, but this one stopped.
And
my wife looked out the back patio door and went, well, there's a blue heron in the pond. And we had put a net over. Since the otter episode, one of them black nylon nets. And so I don't know how in the world his weight probably pushed the net down
so he can get his long
beak in there and suck up my fish. I don't know.
How many did he get?
She said she thought only one.
Oh.
And I says, was it the big one? She says, no, it was a small one. I said, oh, okay. Gosh, I think I got two big ones.
Okay.
They're not big. They're 8-9 inches, but there's a whole bunch of, you know, two, three smaller ones. Yeah, 2-3 inches.
Yeah. Next time, shotgun.
I don't know, man. I'm going to put something out there. I'm not going to confess on the air.
Yeah.
Oh, but getting back to the history of...
You can make a feather bed out of all those feathers.
Yeah, we could. Getting back to the past history of wintergreen here, I've just got a few more things I'm going to talk about on it. But we also have a florist and a gift shop with we have very creative ladies who put together amazing bouquets for our customers. And the two busiest times of the year, and I've mentioned this before, are Valentine's Day, I call it Valentine's Week, and Mother's Day, and it's Mother's Day Week, mm-hmm. because it were slammed both those weeks prior to those events, and we're delivering everywhere. I mean, you find roads that you never knew existed up in Tiller somewhere, where some guy... You know, called in an order for his wife or something like
that. Up there in the upper 40.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was this one I went out. It was on North Myrtle Road. No, South Myrtle. Anyway, I'm going out there and I'm looking for the number. Yeah. And they said, well, there's a gate at the bottom of the hill. And when you see this, so I think I got to it. I saw the number.
Oh.
And opened the gate and I drove up and it's a steep hill. Closed the gate because I got cows. And so I go up this road, and it, good half mile, three quarters of a mile, I'm climbing, and it's steep. And I'm thinking, geez, Louise, somebody lives up here? And I finally get into a cleared area, and it's kind of a pasture land on top of this ridge. And I see a house another quarter mile up there.
Oh, Lord.
So I drive up the other quarter mile, and you could probably see Crater Lake from there. I mean, it was beautiful. It was gorgeous. And I met the people, nicest people. Oh, yeah, they were great. Showed me, and they're like, they've got their own water system, and they got their own electrical system, and they got, you know, panels. And and he was an engineer or some sort. I don't know. And so they're totally self-sufficient, sitting on top of a mountain. And they had nice, you know, we did some landscaping work for them and some pruning and, you know, pruning their fruit trees and stuff like that. So that's where the people send me. They always, okay, Mike, you got five deliveries and two out in Podunkville and one out there in Coon Hollow and, you know, and one over there, you know, and you're going, geez Louise, I've never been to these places, but I've learned a lot.
I learned a lot
of Douglas County geography.
and most of them have dogs.
Yeah, all of them got dogs, man. All of them got dogs. So Valentine's week and Mother's Day week, you might see me around. I'll be still helping the new owner deliver bouquets. So. But, you know, Christmas is always busy, but not like Valentine's and Mother's Day. On those two, we are delivering flowers, like I say, all over Douglas County. And there's usually four or five of us delivering. You know, you fill up my truck or you fill up the van and they're going in one direction and I'm going in another direction. My brother Steve's going in another direction. And you know, we pretty much think we got it under control. We get back after hour and a half or whatever it takes to deliver everything. And the counter's now filled with another 30 more bouquets to go out to all over. And I'm thinking, geez, Louise,
how do you keep up with it?
Well, it's I got two good florists. They're working 90 miles an hour. And then my wife's making sure she's helping at that time. And then they're, you know, putting them out on the counter and the vases and all that. And
yeah.
We're just running in, loading the rigs up and going.
As
fast as we can. It's kind of fun. I mean, you get to meet a lot of nice people, and I see a lot of nice country I haven't been to in a while. So.
Well, you won't have to wait too much longer.
No, next month, and there it is. So, you know, it's... like I said, it takes at least four people to do deliveries. It's better with five. And so you got five different rigs going in five different directions, and you still got all these flowers to and bouquets. And some of them are, you know, fairly large, and some of them are just, you know, small. But they're good.
I bet it's a nice aroma.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you get them in my truck, and it smells like a florist shop, for crying out loud. So, you know, Camas Valley, North Umpqua, Tiller, the coast. I've delivered to the coast. I've delivered in Coquille. I've delivered in Myrtle Point. And at Christmas time, I deliver huge poinsettias to Coquille, Roseburg Forest Products office in Coquille. And the other, you know, where they load up the ships with sawdust way up there, north of North Bend, and the road takes off to the left. Mm-hmm. Goes. I've delivered huge poinsettias out to their office, clear on the point out there.
Good heavens.
For the last, six, 7 years, eight years. Yeah. So
fortunately, gas has come down a little bit.
Well, yeah, but I don't mind the ride. It's okay.
Oh, there you go.
Because I can get some fish and chips on the way back, you know?
Yeah. Cruise along, listen to that old rock and roll.
Yeah, well, I'm out of that.
We're already up to another break.
Okay.
All right. What's our phone number, Mike?
673-4464 if you have a question or a comment. Feel free.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, good afternoon once again. We are back on a wet Wednesday afternoon. Is it wet?
No, when I was driving in, I told you it was sunny.
Yeah, it was
59
sunny.
Degrees.
That's right.
I had my windows down, man. What? I thought it was spring. And then a bolt of lightning hit my truck. No, it didn't. Well, anyway, talking about the nursery and the florist and all that, all in all, it's been a great adventure, and we've met very, very, very wonderful people, and I'm thankful for all that God has blessed us with, and I'm gonna continue as a consultant in a different business, but I'll still be a landscape consultant, and I'll still come here and do my radio show. And write my article for the competing newspaper in town.
We shall not mention.
No, we shall not mention at all. But, you know, a lot of people, when they call me or when they're talking to me, they say, I made a mistake doing this, or I made a mistake doing this. And people say, how come you... you sure know a lot, or, you know, how come you know this so much? And I said, because of all the mistakes I made, that's why. But I want to tell you about my first major mistake as a landscape contractor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me turn you up on this one so I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Well, my first, not big, but not small landscaping job was in Winston. And an unnamed customer wanted a bid on a landscaping for his 8-plex apartment in Winston. He said, well, it's a job with a lot of mulch and tough plants like junipers and, you know, pretty simple, right? Yeah, okay. Boy, it's my first opportunity to go bid an 8-plex. And
get so some money.
I go out there and I look at it and I'm going, oh, boy. he said, not to worry about water or sprinklers or anything. And the clients or the tenants will take care of the plants. And I was okay. And I thought, well, that may be true or it may not be true.
Yeah.
So anyway, I looked over the site and did my first bid. And at this time, I had no crew except me. I was it. My equipment was a shovel, a rake, and a wheelbarrow, and a pick, because the ground was a little hard, but no problem. I was 25 years old and really tough.
Young stud.
You know, a former Marine. I can break through anything, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And my first mistake was thinking I was tougher than that hard ground.
Oh, lady.
You know, it was dry, and it was July, and it was hot. Yeah. But anyway, I told the owner, after I looked at the job, I said, you need at least two large loads of bark mulch, because it's a big space, and he didn't want any grass, just bark mulch and some plants. And okay. And I was thinking of two loads of mulch from Douglas County Lumber, where I had bought mulch before. And the owner said, don't worry about that. He'll supply all the mulch, because his wife worked at Sun Studs and get a great discount on that.
Cool.
Okay, well.
That works.
That worked really good. So no problem. And I said, well, have it there on Monday at, you know, sometime in the morning. I'll be there. This is the address on such and such. And there's a place where the truck can back up and drop the stuff. Instantly, while I was waiting, and I heard that a big truck coming, so I thought, this must be it. And as soon as I saw the truck, I knew that I had made a huge mistake. That was the first mistake. The truck was a semi filled with mulch, not a smaller, you know, mulch truck that I was used to.
Yeah, like a dump truck or whatever.
Yeah, a little bit bigger than a dump truck, but this was a full-blown semi.
Good heavens.
We're on a residential street in Winston. And I talked to the driver. He said, no problem. There was a driveway across the street. And so he nosed up into that driveway and backed up to the property. And there was a big vacant spot and kind of a little hill there. And opened the back and started pouring out the bark mulch. And I watched it, and it came out and came out, and it kept coming out. And this is at the far end of the property, and this whole site was about 300 feet long. And then I hear the second semi, and the second semi, yes, pulls up as the first one leaves. With another load, there was a mountain of mulch. My estimating education was on fast track.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I had 160 yards of mulch, and I only needed half that quantity. And I looked at my wheelbarrow and my pitchfork. That was my equipment, remember?
Yeah.
And it was like the middle of July, temperature 98 degrees during the afternoon. And I was really on a steep learning curve at this point. And then a miracle guy across the street was building a fence with a small cat, a little caterpillar you could fit in this little room here. And there was a blade on the front, and he was doing some leveling work and stuff. And he stopped his cat, and I'm scratching my head looking at all this mulch. And he came over and he says, What are you going to do? How are you going to move all that mountain of mulch? So I pointed to my equipment, and he laughed, my equipment being the wheelbarrow, the pitchfork, and the rake.
Eeny, meeny, miny,
and he says, well, I got that little cat across the street, and you know, I could move it pretty quick for you. I says, really? How much would you charge me? Yeah. You know, $100. I says, you're on, baby. You're on. So he came over, and basically I had just hired my first subcontractor. And cool. it took him about 5 hours, and he saved me a week of labor right off the top.
Nice.
Oh, I liked him. I mean, he was great.
Best friends forever.
No, man. It was smoothed out. I had to do some minor raking to make it really look good, but that's okay. Yeah. So my first subcontractor went back across the street, and he had a drill that he was drilling post holes with. And I went, well, why was he drilling post holes with an auger like that, you know? Because I had to put in a little fence, too, and plant some plants in front of the 8-plex. I scratched my head. I'm living and learning here. Mm-hmm. And you just got to remember the ground was hard.
And you're thinking, what did I get myself into?
Not yet.
No, okay.
That happened 5 minutes later. my pick I took out there was quite inadequate.
Oh.
It was like I was trying to cut through concrete. Mm. I mean, this stuff was compacted, hard, and dry. And I got down about 3 or 4 inches on some planting holes in front of one of the duplexes. And I thought, man, I mean, I was banging away at this. I was 25 years old. I was muscles and everything else. Yeah, I was determined. Yeah. I was irritated. And I couldn't get down more than 3 or 4 inches. And I'm thinking, ooh, I'm losing my shirt. So I filled these holes I had about, 10 holes down, about 3 or 4 inches max.
Yeah.
And so I filled all the holes with water. I thought that'll loosen it up. And so... Yeah, and that'll be softer and get down there. Well, however, the water just sat there. It did not go down and soften the soil. It just sat there for a long, long time.
Oh, geez.
And two hours later, I added some more water, and then I went home. And then early the next morning, I attacked the holes and found out that the water had only penetrated about 6 or 7 inches in this hard ground. Mm. I was learning a lot about soil at this point. So I filled the holes again. And then with more water the following morning, I was able to dig the plant holes to the proper depth. But I was amazed at how difficult that ground was. And I'm thinking, boy, I bid this too cheap.
Oh, no.
And my days were starting at like 6 a.m. and ending around 4 p.m. Due to the heat.
That's what I was going to say, just in time for the heat.
Yeah, oh, it was hot, man. And the dizziness I was experiencing.
Oh, Lord.
But I was earning a master's degree in estimating landscape projects.
I'll bet, no doubt.
Yeah, I was getting an education in soil science and excavation technique.
All at once.
Yeah, all at once, along with proper mulch depth. And this job took me 7 days to finish, and my bid was only $800.
Oh.
I got the mulch for free because the guy got it for free.
Right. And you got the spreading of it.
Yeah, and I got the spreading of it for $100.
Yeah.
And my profit, I think, was a minus $200.
Well, could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, I guess it could have, but... You know,
that's a lot, though.
Well, you know, the education of that was worth $10,000, though. Because I never did that again. On the plus side, I got a good tan because of the eternal sunshine.
There you go. You were set for the summer. Yeah.
So what were the lessons that I learned? Well, number one, always check the soil composition. In other words, can you dig in it? Will anything survive in it? Is it hard as a rock? Is it all rock? What do I need to make it better, you know?
Yeah.
Is it just hard pan? You know, is it just clay? You know, very seldom is it just topsoil. But lastly... in that equation, how do I fix the soil if needed? And I've talked about that 150,000 times on this show.
Yeah.
And number two, proper equipment is a must. So you either spend the money to rent what's needed or hire someone who has equipment. Just because you have a pick and a shovel ain't going to work. What?
No, I was just getting the call next. ready.
You're doing. I'm almost finished here. And make sure of your sources of mulch and the needed amounts that you really need for 6 inches of cover. When he said two truckloads, I was figuring two small truckloads. Not two semis. So
he didn't specify.
I mean, I think that was 50 years ago, I think. and the mulch is still deep.
Always
check your costs of the job at least twice. And never skimp on quality of materials or labor, and you'll have a happy client no matter how hard the job is. So,
did the guy like it, though?
He did. He said, oh, this is great. This is great. And I thought, oh, good. Thank God. Don't ever call me again, Bert.
No. All right. Caller, hang on, please. We'll be right back.
Okay.
After this mighty fine break on 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Hello, let's get right back to it. Good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hello, Mike. This is Dale Farmer. How you been, buddy?
Hey, good. How are you, Dale?
Hey, that last story you were talking about, I thought you said you were about 5 years old.
No, I was 25.
Oh, I was going to say, I didn't think they had dirt back in them days.
No, they didn't. They created it when I was 10. Okay, Mr. Hey, Smart Alec.
I've been wanting to ask you here, invite you out, but I have property here on the South Umpqua River, right behind the Fullerton 4 school off of Oriole. If you cross the Stewart Park Bridge and looked west, you'd see the houses as the river curves around the bend there. So we sit about 45 feet above the river, and it's just a pretty much straight drop behind three of the houses here. The houses, most of the ones that have a bank left, that aren't as steep as mine, have just let ivy grow up over the years. And that looks good. But it obviously keeps animals and varmints in there that, you know, they come out at night, of course, and that's where they stay during the possums, the skunks, the rats, and those things. So what could I put? Don't have much bank on the top. Pretty much straight fall down, not much soil. It's, you know, it's all rock.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of something I could grow on it that would probably come from the top down. I imagine ivy would go both ways. But, I'd love to get some color. Something that would bloom, you know, and just give color during the years. I'd love to get some red, white, and blue that way if they, you know, colored out during the season. It would be a beautiful view when you look down the river crossing there. So anything other than ivy. Of course, the blackberry bushes do well, but
yeah,
we'll get
blackberries are very well on those kind of conditions.
Any type of something that would grow. I mean, I see all kinds of things that grow up fences and around that look like they're a flower, but anything that would grow over a bank that would do well without much soil.
Well, anything you put on that, Dale, is going to probably take some initial care, like the first year, maybe into the second year, until they can be rooted in and get going. But there are heathers that could probably work. They're tough and they bloom. There's ice plant. I don't know if they come. They come in blue. Ice plants come in blue and red, but I don't know if there's any white. And they can grow out of solid rock, for crying out loud. And they're just a ground cover and just tough as nails. I mean, once they're established, after the first year, they're pretty much on their own. But if you can water them once in a while in the middle of summer, they do good, of course. That's a few just right off the top of my head.
Are they viney? Are they viney, Mike?
Kind of, sort of, but not like a ivy or anything. They're slower, but they're more body, if you will, to the plant. When they're blooming, they bloom from early spring to late fall, and it's a solid mass of small flowers. And I mean, it's just, you can hardly see the green stems because of all the flowers. And I've got some at the nursery that is no longer mine, but I've got some at the nursery out on a bank out there along the highway that I put in as tiny plants, and now they're 7 feet across. They're still only 2 or 3 inches tall, but they're 7 feet across, and they're doing great. And like I say, they bloom from early spring till fall, and that would be one thing. Heather would be another. And there are some. Kinnikinick would be the white color. Kinnikinick will bloom white. So if you combine the red, white, and blue, you'd have what you wanted.
And then how do they, would you put them in the, do they grow, so if they're at the top going down to the river,
yeah,
would that be a natural way they would grow, or would you put them in the middle, let them go both ways?
Well, you can let them go both ways, but if you want to force them in one direction, you prune back the opposite side. In other words, gotcha. If it's a 6-foot circle, the 3 feet that are going the wrong way, you cut them off, and then the energy of the plant goes to what you left, and they'd be better.
I've got about a 200-foot wide bank, and again, we're probably 40 feet above what I would call the river level.
Yeah.
So that would look awesome. I love that color idea.
I hate to cut you off, but we're running out of time. But if you go to the nursery and talk to my daughter, Jill, she can point you out to these things, and you can actually see them in the ground at my place.
Thank you much. Happy New Year, buddy.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
All righty. Well, I'm glad you changed your mind and decided to come back for a little while.
Well, good. I thought you said we were out of time. I could take
We got about 20 seconds.
20 seconds? I could have spoken for another 15.
I know, but I didn't want to cut him off in the middle of his question.
Oh, I know. Well, it's good. I think we got the job done, and as soon as he sees the plants, he'll say, wow, those are cool. I'm going to buy them.
Yeah, and there's always next week. You can call back next week.
Yes. Don't be hesitant to call back next week.
There you go.
34464.
All right. Did you want to plug the nursery or no?
Well, Wintergreen Nursery is under new ownership, but we're still kind of hanging around and teaching the new owners what to do. So come on out.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome.